ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Anthony Burke here, host of By Design on ABC Radio National, a show about the clever ideas and human stories behind the spaces, systems, and objects shaping everyday life. Whether you're curious about architecture, interior design, fashion, or anything in between, we reveal.
It seems like a beautiful idea, naming a star in the night sky in honour of a loved one, maybe even for your Valentine. But how do stars actually get named? And if you pay $50 for a glossy certificate, is it worth the beautifully embossed paper that it's printed on? This is Lab Notes from ABC Radio National. I'm Jonathan Webb, and joining me today in the studio is astronomer Dr. Laura Dreesen from the University of Sydney, who has a few things to say about the business, and it does seem to be a business, of naming stars. Welcome, Laura.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yes, we will have a lot to say, I think, about this one.
So I was dimly aware that naming stars as a kind of custom naming thing was sort of around. Tell me about these star naming websites.
Basically, you pay and they supposedly name a star after you. To be honest, a lot of certificates are quite pretty. They're quite nice. But alas, as a party pooper, astronomers don't even know about these names. There's no way that we can access these names, and we will never use these names as names for stars. So it's, you can't actually buy a star officially.
So what are they actually doing? If you pay your fee and get your certificate, if the astronomers never even hear about it, what are these websites doing with your name?
Well, supposedly they are putting it into their database. So a lot of them will say something like, we've put it into our private international database or our official international database or something like that. But we can even tell from supposedly the numbers. So if we look at the numbers that they say they've sold and the numbers of stars in the sky, it doesn't match up. So even if they are putting your name in a database, it's going next to a long list of names for that same star. So
for
they're
the
selling
same
it.
Star.
Yes, yes. If we believe them. So some of these websites will say 500,000 happy customers, 100,000 happy customers. Almost all of the ones that I found, I don't know if you've found the same ones, they say that you name a visible star in the night sky. And that's the important part.
Right.
Because there's only in one hemisphere, maybe 2,500 visible stars.
Oh, is that
to
right?
Your eyes. Yes.
Right.
So
500,000 happy customers.
500,000 happy customers. And if we look both hemispheres, maybe 5,000 stars. So that's each star is named at least 20 times, maybe hundreds of times in these private international databases.
Some serious double parking of names.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're more expensive if you buy a binary star or you get an extra bright star. Yes. Which
yeah,
there's
right.
even fewer of those. So it just gets out of hand very quickly.
And I guess a clue to whether or not or how official this is the fact that there are so many of these websites all purporting to do the same, essentially the same thing. And they sound really official, don't they? When you look at these sites, they've got the word registry in some of their names. They've got those different categories of stars you can buy. And very professional-looking websites with high scores on Trustpilot, which I thought was amusing.
Oh, that one hurts a little bit. I mean, I suppose considering what they do, and I think we should note here as well, if you do want to symbolically name a star and pay for a quite nice certificate, then that's a completely lovely thing to do. I think there's lots of people who maybe went stargazing with a loved one who's now passed away, who might even associate Alpha Centauri or one of those famous stars with that person. And it's completely fine to, in your heart, name a star after a person. But these registries, and they are very misleading because they, even if they don't say it will be a unique star to you, they do heavily imply that it's a unique gift and unique for your loved one. So a lot of these things, private database, they're kind of implying this official unique thing without officially saying it.
I like the point you make that maybe it's all kind of innocent fun, but there's innocent fun and then there's charging 500,000 people $50 for a name that is, as you've said, triple or quadruple parked.
Yes, which if you add all that up, that's a couple of million dollars, up to $20 million. But it is actually kind of worse. There's an article written by Brad Tucker, who's an astronomer at ANU, and he does do observing nights and things like that. And he has been contacted by people who have named stars after loved ones who have passed away, who then ask him to find the star. And he even said that in 1 week, he had two people ask about the same star that had been named separately for different people. So I think there are plenty of people who are doing it symbolically, which is lovely, but then there are people who are misled by these websites, and you can tell from looking at them. So if you have been misled, that's what they were designed for.
How does it make you feel, all of this business, as an astronomer, to have this minor industry being spun up? Because it seems kind of sad to me, because it's a lovely idea to do this, and it's all part of arguably getting people to appreciate the night sky and think of it in a really personal way.
I do think it's really sad. And when I was writing an article about it, and it really hit me when I read the reviews on these websites, because people are buying these for really beautiful reasons, often for the birth of a child or for someone who's passed away or a beloved pet or something like that. And it seems like it would be really meaningful. So I think it was really tough to dive a bit deeper, because like you, I'd sort of known that it was a bit iffy, and I'm sure it happened. But then diving deeper into it, I just thought, wow, this is actually a bit rough, because they are really taking advantage of something that seems beautiful and quite personal and lovely, and ripping people off, basically.
So just to clear things up then, how do stars really get named? Like, how does an astronomer go about naming a star?
So there's two parts to the answer to this question. So we have proper names. So there are stars that have, like, capital letter names, but each star can only have one name. And there's only about 600 stars, fewer than 600 stars, that have a capital letter proper name.
So what's a capital letter, like a Polaris or Alpha Centauri?
Betelgeuse. Yeah. So Alpha Centauri is actually not its official name. That's a designation. So we'll talk about those in a second.
Okay.
But the pointer stars are called things like Rigel Centaurus and Toloman. So that's their capital letter names, but we don't usually call them that. So there's very few stars that have a name, and they're all named by the International Astronomical Union. There's a working group on star naming, and they're taken from history and culture. So they actually have a set of rules which you can look up, and it even explicitly says you can't name a star after a pet. So it explicitly says that.
What about a person?
For a person, it's a little bit iffy, because they say you can't, except in a few cases. So there are a few historical cases where the name is so ingrained. So Barnard Star, for example,
right. That's
been known for a very, very long time. But pretty much no new modern names. It would have to be a star that's been known by that name for quite some time. So they're named after indigenous cultures from all across the world. So there's a whole process on which name gets chosen. And they sort of do a few every year where they're adding a chunk. Sometimes for stars that you can't see with your eyes, if you discover something, astronomers can suggest names. So there is a new one. Betelgeuse, which is very famous, has a new companion. Well, a companion we've thought about for a long time, but has been confirmed. And those astronomers suggested the name Suwara for that star, which means her bracelet, because Betelgeuse is named after a woman legend, I think a hero in Arabic culture. And so it's her bracelet for the companion. So that is official, but that's a star you can't see. So it's not been sort of historically known. The other side, so that's proper names. But there are over a billion known stars.
Yeah.
And I know there are a lot of people who have lots of unique names, but that's still quite a lot to have to get very unique names. So we don't name them like that.
Most of them end up with a name that reads like a postcode.
Yes, exactly. And we call these designations or identifiers. Sirius, for example, has over 60 of these.
Okay.
Because it's been observed so many times.
Oh, right. So every time it's clocked in a survey, it gets another postcode.
Yes, it does. It gets another postcode. So the ones that we might be familiar with are things like Alpha Centaurus. And that's because it's in the Centaurus constellation, and
right.
It's the brightest star, therefore alpha. So for a lot of the stars that are visible by eye, their main designation or identifier, if they don't have a proper name, so they'll get that name. But most of them are a series of letters which tell you which telescope or survey, and then a bunch of numbers.
Right.
Those numbers can be the coordinates, so where you're looking in the sky, or just a unique string of numbers that meaningless except just to tell you which star is which. So if Gaia, which is a space telescope, observes it, it gets a Gaia number. If TUMAS, which is an infrared survey, sees it, then it gets a TUMAS name. So every telescope that goes past and sees that star, if there's a survey and a nice big chunky catalogue of a billion stars,
it
gets a line and a new designator.
So it's a complicated business, and there's different dimensions to even the official naming of stars. And then we get to any number of commercial, supposedly, you know, international databases where people are selling additional names, which scientifically don't really mean anything.
I was a bit more of an unscrupulous person. It seems like a good business idea. I shouldn't have been an astronomer. I could have $20 million worth of stars by now. I don't condone it, but just adding up the numbers, I was like, oof.
I love it. Thank you very much, Dr. Laura Dreesen, for sharing your lab notes with me.
Thanks for having me.
Let us know what you think about all this. You could send an email to labnotes@abc.net.au. And you can hear more Lab Notes along with our sister program, The Science Show, anytime on ABC Listen. This episode was made on Gadigal and Menang Noongar country. The producer is Fiona Pepper and our sound engineer is Roy Huberman. Catch you next week. Laura Dreesen, my favourite part of this story is that not only have you gone on a rant about how these naming registries are effectively meaningless and not worth paying for, you've set about proving the point by making your own registry where people can name a star unofficially or symbolically for a total cost of $0. Tell me about this, and I might actually give it a spin. Can people get involved?
Yes, of course, and I would love you to, because I made this website out of frustration. As you can tell, I was quite frustrated by this whole situation and just, I guess, upset that people are being kind of misled in this way. It really was quite frustrating. But you can still, with the same meaning and a much lower cost, symbolically name a star.
I like it. The certificates look lovely. I might take this home and see if my four-year-old wants to help me choose a name.
Oh, yes, you should do it. I think a good Southern Hemisphere star, and maybe choose one that's got a nice little picture that you like. I think that's a good one.
Testing. Okay. So, Barney, I was talking to an astronomer at work, someone who studies the stars, and we were talking about how stars get their names. And I was wondering if you had a chance to give a star a name, what would you choose?
Jimmy Bob.
You want to call it Jimmy Bob?
Jimmy Bob.
What about if I said you're not supposed to give them names of people or pets?
Well, Jimmy Bob is actually a name for a plant.
It's a plant name, is it, Jimmy Bob?
Yes, and also, did you know it can be a name for a star?
Cool. Do you want to hear what this sounds like?
Yeah.
Put these on.
Jimmy Bob.
Can you hear yourself in the headphones?
Yes.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.